Amen. Good morning. I want to welcome you. I am Glenn. I am preaching today. We are going to be working our way through community. We have been talking about resolve. The idea that we are, as a church family, resolving to be like Christ. And we've been going through the different pieces of what that looks like, starting with truth. We are resolving to believe what Jesus believed, to be a people of truth, to live like Jesus lived, to have character, to be a people of character. Today we're going to talk about community, that we're going to resolve to belong like Jesus belonged. And then next week, we'll finish up resolve and we'll talk. Pastor Jake will wind us down with serving like Jesus served, to be a people of mission. We resolve all these things. If you're a part of this church family, this is who we are. This is what we strive to be about. And today is about how do we belong in a way that Jesus belonged. And I don't know where you are in community, but this is the goal. This is what I hope we'll walk out of here with. As we listen to what the Word teaches us, we're going to go to truth and extract what God says to us about belonging in a way that works, a way that connects, a way that Jesus taught us to belong. So when we leave here, the goal is this: how am I doing in community? That we'll be able to evaluate, this is where I'm at, with the understanding that Jesus being our example on what community is, we can all do better. We can all reach in further, especially as it relates to community. So that's what we're going to do. I want us to bow our hearts and pray. I hope that you pray. When Pastor Jake is up here and we pause and we pray, I hope you're praying for him. I preach sometimes in the wake of Jake, and that's a hard thing to do because he's good. And I pray you're praying for me when we pause. But let's pray, let's bow our hearts, and let's ask God to show up as we mine this out together. So bow your hearts with me. Father, thank you for the truth that your Word brings to us. Thank you that we are a church that is taking very seriously the charge of learning what it means to live like Jesus lived, whether that's truth, character, community, or mission. Today we're going to talk about community, and I ask God that you would open our hearts up to hear from you, to see what it is that your Word leads us to in the area of community. Jesus lived a community life, a belonging life that was second to none. And Father, you call us to be like Christ. So open our hearts to hear from you in this area and to mine that out in our personal lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So let's start with the question, how important is community? What we know to be true is back in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, God, the triune God that we serve, said these words. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so right out of the gate, as God created the first person, he makes that declaration. It's an emphatic declaration that it's not good for a man to be alone. And the reason that God was able to say that with such firmness, and what we're going to see today as we go through this, it doesn't stop. It gets drilled even deeper in the New Testament context of community. But the reason God could say that from the very beginning is because God, who is a triune God, right? We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So this triune God who has existed for infinite past has always existed in perfect community. He's always been in relationship. And so from that, we who are made in his image, God can declare, you need relationship. You need community. It's not good. It's not good to be alone. So the Trinity teaches us some things about community. They are 100% Father, Son, Spirit, nature of God, but they are very separate and very distinct in their roles. God the Father is God the Father. He exists in spirit. He is sovereign. He knows all things, and he works all things together for good, but he's not God the Son. Jesus Christ is God the Son. God the Father sent God the Son to come live a perfect life in the flesh, to live sinless life, to be an atonement for sin. You and I who declare Jesus as Lord, the atonement is that Christ took the sin that we have and the penalty of that sin on his shoulders when he was crucified and rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is God the Son, but he's not God the Spirit. God the Spirit is God the Spirit. And God the Spirit lives in the sanctuary of our soul. Okay? Each and every one of us who claim to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ becomes a living sanctuary where God the Spirit resides in you. And so when we come into a room like this, we don't call this room the sanctuary because that has the connotation of Old Covenant, Old Testament tabernacle, Old Testament temple, where God would reside with his people in the presence of the temple. The New Testament covenant, God the Spirit resides in the temple of us. He lives in our soul. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, who have from eternity past lived in perfect community. And we get our first glimpse of this relationship as God reveals it to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where he says, "Let us," this is the triune God speaking to one another, "let us make man in our image and in our likeness." So this is the God in relationship from eternity past who says it's not good for man to be alone. So he wants us in community. Now, we all need other people in our lives, and that is kind of the underlying theme of what we need to take from this message today. We need people in our lives, and God is encouraging us that if we have that, we can go richer and we can go deeper into relationship, not only with each other, but with him. We need people to encourage us. We need, from time to time, people to kick us in the behind so that we can move towards what God wants us to do in our lives. We need the community of each other. So here's the bottom line. Whether you consider yourself a people person or not, whether you consider yourself relational or not, if you are a follower of Christ, God is calling us to be in community and in relationship with one another. So our response to what God calls us to do is that we resolve. We resolve within ourselves to move towards that kind of community that he calls us to belong like Jesus belonged. And here's the thing, it's an elephant in the middle of the room, and I know it's here, I know it's in me, and it's in all of us. At some level, we have a resistance to that. I believe that is true for each and every one of us. We push back. We have internal objections that go against what God calls us to, that work against what God desires in our life, which is that we have genuine community. And it goes something like this. We've all been in community that has been messy. We've all been in dysfunction. functional community, whether that's family or peer groups, or can I say this as we're talking about the elephant in the middle of the room? Maybe it's been another Christian, or maybe it's been a church that has been messy in your life. And the result of that, it's very clear to me that we have a message today that is saying, come on in deeper, come into deeper community. And we have a nature in us that says, no, man, we stiff arm it. We push it back because we've been in messy, we've been in hurtful, we've had community that has hurt us, shamed us, exposed us, wounded us, let us down. And so the nature that we have tends to pull back from the kind of community that we're going to look at this morning. The nature in us from our history and just who we are resists community, and sometimes we can even resent community even within the church, even between another Christian. And so what God is saying to us is, I want us to push back. And for some of us, the idea of that, it just boggles our minds. Some, maybe you're in this room and you believe that it would be better for you to be a box of Kleenex in a grief counselor's office than as opposed to being in community where you have to be transparent and get to know people and risk. And yet God calls us to that community. And so what I want to say to you, if you're resisting, if you've had that tendency in you to kind of hold it out and to stiff arm it a little bit or even a lot in your life, let me say this to you. God loves you. God, in fact, is relentless in his love for you. He is relentless in his pursuit for you. And you've been hurt. I get it. I bet if we polled this room, the first service, we've got a full balcony. If we polled this room and had it a way to say, hey, have you been hurt? Have you been wounded? And is that somehow hold you out of community? Not only would hands go up in this room, we'd be doing the wave. We'd be doing the wave in this room because we've all been hurt. We've all had that happen. Community can be messy. It can be hard. It can have conflict. I have a family. I have a wife and three kids, and they have me. And I've learned a long time ago, and we all need to learn this, that we don't find our sense of security in the false expectation that we can live in relational bliss, somehow conflict-free in relationship. That's not going to happen. Our security, our anchor comes from our relationship with Jesus. Our security is to go there for our identity. And what God will do is he'll use family, he'll use community as a means whereby we grow up and work through some of what we need to work through, especially when it's messy, when it's hard. God's relentless in his love for us. He is relentless to pursue us, and he is going to do whatever it takes to mature us up. God is like a perfect travel agent who has an itinerary of travel that is uniquely designed for each and every one of us in our life. And so as we follow Christ in our lives, we're en route to where God wants us in terms of destination, and that is maturity in Christ. Amen? We're en route to that, but sometimes God will allow us to have a layover in relational conflict, in relational pain, and in difficulty, but we can't cancel the travel plan because it can hurt. If you've got that in your life, if you've had that in your life, don't cancel the travel plans. Remind yourself that God's destination for you is good. God's destination for us is to grow us up into maturity, and he can and does use difficulty in our lives to mature us towards that. So let's be a people who resolve. And I want to poke around this verse that I'm going to show in just a second. This comes out of John 13, which is a phenomenal verse because it's a verse in the Gospel of John, a chapter in the Gospel of John where Jesus is transitioning For the years that he had been in ministry, he is now getting ready to depart, and he is preparing his disciples for this departure. And he says these words in John 13, verse 34. It says, what does it say? A new what? A new command. I give you, love one another. This isn't optional. As I read what Jesus is saying here, it's a command. He says, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. Now, let's let that one soak in. How did Jesus love you and me? He hung on a cross. He spread himself out, nails piercing his body and beaten and disgraced for you. And as he hung there dying, he said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He says, I command you, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is the heart of what God is calling us to in community. And I want us to look at four different aspects of what the Bible is showing us as benefit of community as we understand together that Jesus is determined in his relentless love for us to get us past our stiff arm, past our hesitation of community. Okay, he's calling us to that. So this is a great opportunity to remind ourselves. Look, the first one is simply this. First point, we experience Christ in community. We experience Jesus in other people. He gave us the command to love one another. We just read it in verse 34, and he gave this command in the context of verse 33. And in verse 33, what he is telling his disciples is, I've been with you, but I'm leaving. I'm going. And where I go, you cannot follow. Where I will be, you won't find me. And there's a time frame where he's saying to the disciples, until I come again, that relationship is changing. What you got for me in the physical is now going to be experienced amongst each other. Love one another the way I loved you. Someday we're going to have that relationship with Jesus that's going to be face to face and together. But until that happens, we love one another. We experience Christ in one another as Jesus is working in the bride. I really believe that Jesus, as he said those words, love one another, was beginning the formation of what would later be called the bride of Christ, where Paul really takes that language and drills it down in places like Ephesians chapter 5, where he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or blemish, but holy and blameless. This is the desire that God has for his bride, to be raised up, built up, and God is going to meet each of us in the community of the saints. Christ's continuing presence comes through the bride as we wait for his return. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who was martyred right before the Nazi thing was over, he was doing his doctrinal work at the University of Berlin. At the age of 21, he wrote his thesis entitled The Communion of the Saints, Christ Existing in Community, where he described how the church, the bride, is the physical manifestation of Christ in the earth, on the earth, until Jesus comes back. How's that possible? How does that work out? We got to go back to what we said earlier about you and I being sanctuaries. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God, and that you're not your own? Christ lives in us by his Spirit. So think of it this way. When we're in community, as sanctuaries carrying the living God in our souls, every time we love somebody, it is Christ's love working through us. Every time we sit with brokenness and messy people, it is Christ sitting with messy and broken people as we are yielding to Him. Every time we pray for brokenness in each other's lives, it's Jesus who's healing. Every time we forgive one another, it's out of the ability of what Jesus gave us on the cross with His death and resurrection that we can do that. Every time we show compassion, every time we encourage somebody, it's Christ encouraging through us. That is the relationship of our relationship with Jesus as it relates to Him being in the community of the saints. Think about it this way. When you hug somebody, when you give them that hug and that loving connection, physical connection, it's like you're getting a hug from Jesus Himself. When it works, it's a slice of heaven. And we need to resolve to be people like that. And Jesus knew that we were going to need that encouragement. So the language of the New Testament over and over reminds us, you got to love each other. You gotta love. You gotta forgive. You gotta regard others as more important than yourself. You have to be able to teach and correct, encourage each other, pray for each other, bear one another's burdens with each other, be friends with each other, kind and compassionate, and do it out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. And it can only be done, church, it can only be done in the context of community. It can only be done when we love each other and are in with each other and belong the way Jesus belonged, in community. So the next thing that community does, second point, is it provides accountability and it provides guidance. And here's the underlying theme of this point. We've got to resolve to press past the superficial. We've got to resolve to be willing to extend ourselves in ways that are more transparent. And we have to resist this pact that we can make with mediocrity in relationship and in community. And the way it goes for me, and I don't know about you, I'm guessing it does, is that we have this tendency to kind of make this agreement somehow that, hey, I'll stay away from your messy if you'll stay away from mine. I won't push on your brokenness if you will stay away from mine. And what Jesus is reminding us of is that when we do that, whether that's out of fear or insecurity or whatever it is, when we give ourselves permission to hold back from community like that, what we're doing is we're giving ourselves permission to ignore what Jesus is encouraging us to do, which is to love one another. To be transparent with one another, to confess our sins one to another, to pray for one another so that there can be healing, there can be growth and maturity in the Lord. And when we ignore this powerful element, one of the things that happens is that we're never going to mature into the kind of Christians that God calls us to be, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous. A few years ago, Lisa and I were in our own little mess, our own little world, our own little pain. We all have that, right? We all have our own little pain, our own little mess, but we had a season where we were just kind of holding it like this. We weren't sharing it with anybody, and I can tell you that as we look back on it, there were people that God had allowed into our lives that we were supposed to talk to, and we didn't do it. We didn't do it. And so what happened was a few of them came and they approached us and they lovingly brought a crowbar with them and they pried us away from our hanging on to it. And they sat us down at our kitchen table and they said, "What's going on? What's going on?" And I remember as we crossed that border into this land of the unknown, into this place where how do you do this with this kind of stuff going on, as we puked up what was going on, the toxins that were inside of us, we began to heal. We cried. We had people praying for us. And this is what God calls us to in community. Not that we're going to bleed all over each other, but when we need to, we can. Because the risk of what was happening in Lisa's and my life is the same risk that will happen to you if you suffer alone. And what happens is you get separated from the pack of sheep. And when you're a stray sheep out there, what gets at you? The wolves. The wolves. The protection comes from being in godly community that wants to hold, care for, love, pray over that sheep. And it's done in the context of community. And when it works, it's beautiful. It's this amazing slice of heaven that God gifts to the church. And when I see other people, when I hear people share their pain, I don't know what that is. I love it. I love not the fact that they're in pain, but the fact that they're sharing that they're in pain, because it makes me want to be more honest about my pain. When I hear how people are struggling and then how they prayed through it and how somebody helped them through it, that makes me think maybe that'll work in my situation. That teaches me something about what could be going on in my world. And when I have brothers and sisters who are holding me accountable, and that makes me more consistent with following through what I committed to as that works in other people's lives. It is this beautiful relationship that God has provided for us. And I want to say it this way: godly community, as we're talking about, it doesn't seek you out to scold you. You ever been scolded in community? Have you ever had somebody seek you out just to go, "Ah, that's not godly community. That's control, that's insecurity, that's religion. It's not godly community." Godly community listens. Godly community draws you in and says, "What's going on? What's going on?" Godly community prays for one another and helps us as we move towards growth. We need to resolve as we allow the Word of God to teach us this morning, remembering that our growth comes through the relationship of accountability and guidance with other people. Number three, we serve in community. We serve in community. This isn't mission, although it bridges into mission. Mission is going to be preached on next week. It is the overlap of serving outside of the church versus serving in the church. I want to talk about serving inside of the church. And the way this works for me is that serving within the context of the church is kind of like a stripping agent that peels away, for me, pride. When I serve somebody else, it's like I have to put down my agenda, what I wanted to do, what I had plans for in order to serve somebody else. And service is one of those things in the church that God wants to have happening, because it acts like a paint stripper when you got that cruddy, chipped, ugly looking paint, or in our case, siding, that needs to be pulled off in order that a new image can be put on. And that new image is other oriented. How can I be about you? How can I serve you? As well as serve me. I don't know about you, but I would rather serve somebody else five times than being served once. And I don't know, there's like this resistance and this hesitation that comes up for me when somebody wants to serve me. It's almost like what I see with Peter when Jesus says, "Come on, I'm going to wash your feet." Peter had like, no. It's like, "I don't want you to see my hairy, stinky, dirty fungus toenails. No." And Jesus is like, "No, I'm serving you." And the message that he was sending is the same message he wants to send us. Yeah, you got stinky toes. So what? Get over it. Let people in. Don't stiff arm because you have an issue with people serving you. We've got to allow that in. Sometimes we are the washers, and sometimes we're the washees. Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave some to be apostles, some to be teachers, prophets, evangelists, pastors. 4, verse 12, to prepare God's people for acts of service so that the body of Christ can be built up, so that we serve one another to build up the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, one of the pleasures of being inside the church circle, of being around every day, Monday through Thursday, I get to see firsthand how this happens in this church, and this is a church that serves. Recently, we had a small community who wanted to serve another family. It was a husband and wife who were just stretched beyond measure because of parenting and some other things that were going on. And this little community came in and gave up their time. They babysat for them as they sent them to a weekend, resources, sent them to a hotel and said, go have the weekend. Go have the weekend. Built that family up. And how many examples? We could go on for hours about giving up our time in order to go help that person in the church that's got a leaky roof, supply firewood to that family who needs it. Or one of my favorites, anybody love to move? Moving. That is a ministry when we go help brothers and sisters move. The gospel community means that we are watching for one another. How can we have each other's back? How can we help when that help is needed? And it builds up the family. It protects the family. And it does one other thing. Back to John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Verse 35, when this works, this is what happens. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When the church creates a living environment where we belong to each other the way Jesus belonged when he was on this earth, it creates an attraction that is beyond this world. It creates something that the world looks at and goes, wow, I don't have that in my life. So as we're wrestling with the resolve to be connected and belong like Jesus belonged, one of the things we have to ask ourselves is, am I serving? Am I serving? And do I let people serve me? Do I let people serve me? And then the last point, I'm gonna do this very quickly. The last point is we need to get small. We need to get small. Jesus had his crowds. He had his thousands. He had his hundreds, but he was intimate with 12, and he was besties with three. And so what we saw from Jesus' own life is, as much as the crowds were important, that intimate connection and relationship happened at a smaller level. For community to be effective, you have to be in a small enough environment where you can know people and be known. Otherwise, you're just going to be part of the crowd, and you're not going to really be involved with anybody's lives. And this is the model that we've seen from the very earliest churches. It was a small model. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So small is where the kind of community that we're talking about has to be mined out. That doesn't mean we abandon the corporate gathering of the saints for so many reasons, none the least of which is Hebrews that says don't abandon the gathering of the saints. We come corporately to worship. We come to hear the teaching of the word, but we have to have small in order for the kind of community that we're describing to really take root and be effective. And Sunday mornings, as good as it is, isn't going to do that. It isn't where that happens. It happens in the context of something small where you are known and you know other people. That's where the richest benefits of community exist. And one of the reasons we wanted to show you this little package at the beginning of this service is that this church is a dynamite church for going after community. Community happens in multiple ways, in multiple places, and it's a good thing. If you have kids in this church, there are places for them to experience community. We have the best children's ministry team that we could hope for. And we have had for a long time. We have youth group. We have middle school and high school kids. They are in community, and it's a good thing. One of the things that high school kids that are leaving home and leaving the context of their church that they grew up in and their families, they better be in community when they make that transition, because that's what's going to help them forward. And then as adults, all kinds of opportunities. But you hear us every once in a while, two or three times a year, come up here and we say, and we're going to say it again this morning, that the best and most effective way to experience the kind of community, the richness of community that Jesus wants for us, where we really can get into each other's lives, that happens in the context of small group. Life groups. And we have life groups throughout this church family. They operate on different days of the week. They operate at different times in different geographic locations throughout this county. And out of everything that we could say to you, what we would suggest strongly is that you find a small group to plug into as you do relationship and community and try to belong, resolve to belong like Jesus belonged. And there's a table down as you're heading into the gym, there's a table there. It's going to be there for the next few weeks, and we're going to be getting into a new series starting on the 14th of next month. We're going back in to the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to talk about hype. And hype is this whole thing about what culture says versus what the Word of God says. And the community groups are a place where you can hear the message preached in this setting, and then you go get into the smaller communities of your life group, and you plug that into your personal lives, and you disciple each other under the context of community. And that's where we would suggest for you to be if you haven't done that already. So I'm going to pray. We're going to wrap up. That table will be down there for the next few weeks, and we would really encourage you to do that. If you have conversation or questions that you want to have about that, come see me. Come see Pastor Jake. We will plug you in. So let's bow our hearts as we pray. Father, thank you for the gift that you give us of community. Thank you, Father, that the community that you aim us towards is so good. It's beyond maybe what our history of community is. It's deeper maybe than what we have perceived community to be. It's a place, Father, potentially where we can mine out relationship with one another, experience you in ways that you have intended for us to experience that can be found no other place. So God, I pray for each and every one of us to just be able to find that community, especially, Father, if we have been stiff-arming it, if we've been pushing back against community. God, I pray that you would help us to open ourselves up. Yes, it can be messy, but the benefits are there. So I pray, Father, that the community would be what we would resolve to be about. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.